Want to welcome you all again this morning, whether you're here in person or watching Facebook Live. We're glad you're with us. I thought a week or two ago we were going to go back to Romans, but we're not quite ready for Romans yet, so we'll get back there in time. If the Lord tarries, that is, we'll get back there in time. As I was visiting Pat Humphrey last Monday, went to see Pat and pray with him, because you know we'd prayed for Pat last week, because the week before he was in Brainerd Hospital with some heart trouble, and he was going to need to see another surgeon and have another procedure. And so I stopped in there Monday afternoon, and we were discussing the times in which we live. And those of you that sit in on Pat's class, you know that he's teaching. He'd been teaching end times prophecy, and he's now teaching Revelation. And so you all in that class particularly are very in tune with the end times. And so anyway, Pat and I got to talking about the difficulties of the times in which we live. And we wondered together at the speed of which things are digressing. What will America look like even 1 year from right now? What will it look like in 5 years? The way things are happening so quickly, and for all practical purposes, many things are not that good. And we wondered together last Monday, what will things look like? Now, I realize that Pat and some of us are probably more aware of the end times difficulties that the Bible talks about than some others, because we look at that a lot. But I want to suffice it to say this morning, we are in very difficult times, to be sure. And I'm going to ask us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4 in just a minute. And so as Pat and I visited, we agreed that not only are we in difficult times, but some are not aware of that. We agreed that in the Old Testament model, when you read through the Old Testament prophets, you see this. The Old Testament people, children of Israel more specifically, were warned repeatedly by God's prophets to repent and turn back to God. And at those warnings, they basically shrugged their shoulders and yawned and did not care. You can read all about this in the Old Testament prophets. And it seems like we could also be in a time very similar to that, where the warnings of God are clear from Scripture, and so much of America simply is yawning at the warnings of God, or perhaps even worse, do not care. Pat brought up the idea, because he had been reading about and in learning more about the whole transgender issue that's going on and being pressed upon so much of society. And he was talking to me about the administering of puberty blockers to children and these very final sex changes that many are having. And the force feeding of the subject of transgenderism to our young people, and just suffice it to say, it's a very alarming time. I would say this, if you're listening online today or happen to be here sitting with us, I just want to say this from a biblical standpoint. If you were born a male or you were born a female, you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. And so even though society is trying to push and force feed, change if you think you need to be or should be or want to be, you're not a mistake in who you are. And so anyway, we were talking about the signs of the times. And then during this past week, I was reading some from Christian Post. And I was reading this article of a street pastor, in Seattle, and they even had a picture of him in this article. And he was not flamboyant or obnoxious. He was clean. He was presentable. He had his Bible. He even had a shirt and tie. And he was simply reading the Bible on the streets of Seattle this last month. But he happened to be reading in the area of an LGBTQ event. And if you read that article, it's on Christian Post about the Seattle preacher that was arrested for reading the Bible. If you read the article, you will see that in the crowd, in the arena nearby where he was reading, there was actual full-grown men with nothing on but a smile walking amongst children and other adults, and yet the man reading the Bible was the one arrested and told that it is a risk to public safety to read the Bible in the open streets like this. Do you recognize the signs that we're talking about, friends? I've entitled today's message, Do We Recognize the Signs of the Times in Which We Are In? Lots of articles in Christian Post. I like to read that because I like to be informed. And some of those articles talk about universities who are trying to punish students who oppose same-sex marriage and have the audacity to stand up and say something about that. Universities are trying to punish them. Universities are trying to force professors to use trans pronouns to students that are, well, confused about their sexuality. Universities are trying to force professors to call them this or that. And I could go on and on and on. And some of the church today would say, so what? So what? That's the times in which we live. And that's precisely my point, and it's precisely why I mentioned Israel earlier. That's what Israel said to the Old Testament prophets of God in the Old Testament when they're warned over and over, you're in grave danger. And the Old Testament reminds us over and over that children of Israel simply yawned and said, so what? They were indifferent to the warnings. They're unaware of the severity of the conditions. And quite frankly, they didn't care, much like society today. I've just read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Amos and Joel and Daniel and Obadiah. I've read them all. And they say the same thing. Warning. And they were indifferent to the warnings. They didn't care about their conditions. They didn't care about their behavior. In essence, they said, so what? And so as I press on to Scripture this morning, after talking with my brother Pat, I decided I want to go back to 2 Timothy 3 and remind us the church needs to be aware of the things that's happening around us, how they relate to the times the Bible speaks about, and how society continues to slip further and further away from God, and as a culture goes, in too many cases, so goes the church. We need to be aware of that. The whole time I was talking to our brother Pat last Monday, I was thinking two things. Number one, the subject matter is a little heavy for someone who's just had a heart attack. And I thought of that several times throughout the course of our conversation. And I thought, are you sure we should press on with this subject, brother? And the other thing I thought about is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you say, Jim, you spoke on that before. You're right, I have. I've spoken on that before, perhaps many times over the years. But please hear me, friends. The church, we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be prepared. We need to help others prepare. Remember, Jesus said, watch and be ready, for you do not know the hour in which the Son of Man will come. And so we need to be ready at a moment's notice. And I'll remind us again, I'm not a doomsday prophet. I'm not predicting a day in which Jesus will return. I'm simply saying we need to look to the times and be aware of what's happening in America and beyond. And I would suggest we need to be aware that time is running out on the America that we have known. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today because I love it for its simplicity. It is direct. It is to the point. It is easy to understand. We need to see what Paul was telling Timothy one more time. Here's what he said. I'm only going to pick a few verses from chapter 3, a few verses from chapter 4, pull it all together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. What does that mean? And he begins to break it down. The first thing he says, for people will love only themselves and their money. Hello, that's where we have arrived at in America. We have worshiped at the idol of self for generations and decades. We have claimed my rights. I want, I want, I want over and over and over until we find ourselves in the mess today that we're in America. When in fact, Jesus said just the opposite. When he bid his followers, come follow me, the first thing he said to them and he says to us is deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And yet, there will come a time, Paul said to Timothy, where people will love only themselves. Friends, hear me. You can't have denied yourself and follow Christ and still be in love with yourself. They are at opposite ends of each other. When he said deny yourself, he didn't say be in love with yourself. And that's where we have gone. I want, I want, I want. I have rights, I have rights. That's where we have gotten. He goes on to say, they will be boastful. They will be proud. They will be scoffing at God. If you like to read like I do and be informed, and if you like to look at survey results like I do, you will see that the scoffing at God in America is an all-time high. Holding God in high regard in America, it is an all-time low. We are scoffing at God. In that article, if you should choose to read it, I wouldn't advise it because it's not that pleasant to read. But if you did, read that article that I read about the pastor in Seattle that was arrested for reading his Bible, the language from the others in the area towards him, towards God, towards the Word of God is blasphemous, appalling, vulgar, and despicable. We are scoffing at God to new levels in America. Paul said, in these very difficult times, there would be a time when disobedient to parents, ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred. He says there will be a time when they are unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. I could drill down on every one of these, and I have from time to time, and I'm not going to today because I'm going to press on with some other verses. But as you look at every single one of these, you can see every one of these are happening in current society. They will be cruel and hate what is good. I've mentioned this to us before, but let me say it again. Speaking up to help a young person that is confused, hear me now, speaking up to help somebody that is confused with their sexual identity in many cities in this nation is now against the law. You can't speak up to help them from a biblical perspective in many cities. It is now against the law. Paul said to Timothy, there will come a time when there will be cruel and hate what is good. And yet the radical promoting of hormones and sex changes that are very final are not only celebrated and promoted, it's encouraged, and that's all fine. They will be cruel and hate what is good, Paul said. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. Nothing really needs to be said more about that. We've arrived. We have arrived in America at loving pleasure more than God. All one has to do is look at the Sunday morning church verses 30, 40 years ago. Nothing more needs to be said. We have become in that place of loving pleasure rather than loving God. That's where he said we would get. And then he said they will act religious. This is where I like the New Living Translation. Pretty clear for me to understand. Pretty easy for me to understand. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And he said to Timothy, stay away from people like that. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? I don't really need to say this again because I've said it a couple Sundays already, but this is where that statistic I just said to you a couple weeks past, 37% of American pastors have a biblical worldview. That means 63 don't. They will act religious, but they reject the power that could make them godly. 37% of American pastors today have a biblical worldview. The other 63 do not. If you continue to look at statistics, you will see that 68% of Americans claim to be Christians. That's down from 78% just a few years ago. It's now down to 68%. But listen to this statistic that was just come out just recently. According to one of the latest Gallup polls, it says that 20% of Americans believe that the Bible is literally the Word of God. That's 2 in 10 Americans say, yes, this is the Word of God. The other 8 say, no, it's not. That's what he's talking about when he says they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Just 4 or 5 years ago, it was 24%. When my children were born, they were born between 1980 and 84 and 5. That was a time when America, 40% of Americans saw the Bible as the literal Word of God. Just slip back to when my children were born. 40% of Americans. Today, it's 20. 20% say the Bible is the literal Word of God. 8 in 10 say it's not. That's the times in which we live. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Let me just say this, friends. I spoke just a week or two ago about being born again. Acting religious will not get you to heaven. Being born again will. Multitudes in America, and I'm not being judgmental, I'm just passing on the statistics. Multitudes are acting religious but have not been born of God, are not led by the Spirit of God, do not subscribe to the Word of God. Multitudes, untold millions in America are in that category today. Acting religious is not what God has asked us to be. He's asked us to be born again and follow Christ. Same chapter, if you've got your Bible open, 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13. I want to touch on two more verses before I touch on chapter 4 for just a minute. After Paul lists those things for Timothy, he says this, 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And one might say, then why bother? Why bother? If I'm just going to suffer persecution, I'm going to turn my life to Christ and I'm going to suffer persecution for it anyway, why bother? Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. That's why bother. And if we never get around to any more than acting religious, then eternity is at stake for all of us. Now, here's what he said. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But think of this now for a moment on the times in which we live. Evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. We know that there's persecution around the world. We know that people are dying all over the globe. If you haven't read some of those books that kind of spell that out, you need to. You need to be informed. Even pick up a Voice of the Martyrs magazine. You need to be informed that people are dying for the cause of Christ every day. We need to be, in America, we need to be informed about what is happening to Christians around the world. Tortured for Christ, or Fox's Book of Martyrs, or Jesus Freaks. There's all kinds of books that talk about how people are being persecuted and dying for the cause of Christ. We need to be aware of that, because these people are standing on the rock of Jesus in the face of danger and death, and they're still not denying Christ. That's what he calls us to, even when he says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's already started in America. People in America are labeled hate mongers and homophobes and Islamophobes and bigots and all kinds of stuff for simply choosing not to celebrate a same-sex couple's union by, maybe I didn't bake their cake, or maybe I didn't make their flowers, or maybe I didn't take their pictures. These Christians are being sued. They're being taken to court. They're losing their business for taking a stand for what God's word says. Paul said, everyone who wants to live godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let me say this, friends. If I haven't put you to sleep already, hear this. Just because we don't agree with someone's lifestyle, the choices, does not mean we hate them. That's always the end conclusion. Because I don't agree with somebody, I hate them. That's not true, but that's always the conclusion. You don't agree with me in my lifestyle, you must hate me. That's not true, but that's always the conclusion. Students today who take a stand for Christ in post-secondary schools will be mocked, challenged, and ridiculed for being a Christian. Paul told Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We've arrived in America at these places. I've had conversation lately with people. We talk about the church in America going underground. In other words, coming together like this may not even be possible. 50 years ago, that conversation would have been unheard of. And yet today, because of laws that are being passed at our neighbors to the north, conversations that are happening right here in America, it could be against the law to say what I've just said in the past few minutes in a very short order. It's already against the law in Canada. Second Timothy 4, 2 and 4. I want to pull these verses into this conversation because it's all in the same conversation that Paul is having with Timothy when he said, know this, there will be perilous times in the end. There will be times of difficulty. And then he said this to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 2. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. And in his instruction to Timothy, who would pass on the word of God to others, he said, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Why? Why would he say that? He answers that in the next verse. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We've arrived at that point in America too. He said there is a time coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. That's why he said to Timothy, preach the word of God. Now, I could choose to never address sin. We could choose to just be about social justices and so on and forget the gospel of Jesus Christ that calls us to deny ourselves. We could do that because others have. But that's not what Paul told Timothy. That's not what Paul said about the end. He didn't say go along with the times. He didn't say let culture form you into its image and do what culture says and is popular. He said preach the word of God, Timothy. Hallelujah. That's what he said to do when times get hard. We have arrived, friends, at a time in America when millions only want our ears scratched. Millions are rejecting the truth of Jesus. Remember, 2 in 10 subscribe to the Bible as the literal word of God. 8 in 10 do not. We have arrived in America at the time where we are rejecting the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. We are doing exactly what Paul said would happen. We are doing exactly what they did in the Old Testament when they said over and over and over, and they did what was right in their own eyes. We're doing exactly the same thing as a nation. We have arrived in America where millions are following their own desires, and if we go to church, I want my ears tickled. I do not want to be told anything about sin. I want to be told what feels good, do it, or God wants your best life now, or so on and so forth. And we are looking for teachers that will tell us what our itching ears want to hear. We have arrived at the same place. So, you say, Jim, so what? What are you saying? I'm saying, friends, that we have to choose. And then you might say, Jim, choose what? We have to choose whether we're going to follow Christ or not. We have to choose whether we're going to obedient to His Word and be led by the Holy Spirit of God or do what we want to do. We have to choose. Multitudes are in the church still doing what we want, which is contrary to what God has called us to do when He said, deny ourselves to follow Jesus. We are going to have to choose when we see all this display of the end rushing upon us. We're going to have to choose. Am I going to follow Christ or am I going to just be a little bit religious sometimes? He said that phenomenon is going to happen. They're going to act religious, but going to deny the very power that could make us godly. We're going to have to choose. Am I just going to act religious? I'll say this much about that, friends. We're not fooling God. In our acting religious, maybe I'm fooling the preacher, maybe I'm fooling my wife or my husband or my kids or my parents, but we are not fooling God when we only act religious for an hour or so Sunday morning and Monday through Saturday, we look just like the world. We are not fooling God. There will come a time when they will act religious but miss completely the power that can change us. We're going to have to choose which ways are going to be for us. 2 weeks from today, next week, I'm so looking forward. As Casey has said, next week our youth are going to lead the service. I'm so looking forward to that. And 2 weeks today from today is Baptism Sunday. I'm going to emphasize the word repentance on that day. But if my life hasn't, if my following Christ hasn't included repentance, repenting of sin, why would I repent? I recognize I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Why would I need a Savior if I didn't know I was a sinner? I'm going to focus on repentance. But I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to close, and we're going to sing. We have to choose, will I follow Christ? And if you say, well, Jim, I'm a pretty good person. Well, Jim, I get to church once in a while. Well, Jim, I believe in God. Have you been born again? Have you surrendered to Christ? Those of you that are here just a couple weeks ago, you heard what Jesus told Nicodemus. He was religious. He did all the things mechanically, religiously speaking. He had not been born of God. He was missing it right here. He had some things here. He was missing it here. That's what I'm talking about. We have to choose. Will I repent of sin? Will I turn from that? Will I turn to Christ, the one who died for me? Will I surrender to him and embrace him by faith? And will I commit to follow him? That's what he's asking of us. We have to choose because society is choosing. All you got to do is read the statistics and look around us. Listen to the news. Society is choosing. We have to choose. It's exactly like Joshua said. I could turn back to Joshua 24. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let's get ready to sing this last song. And while we're singing this song, friends, if you haven't chosen, if you haven't decided, then get alone, you and the Lord, spirit to spirit, and talk to God. Repent of sin. Call upon Christ. Invite him to come into your life, and take control. Surrender completely to Christ. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Going through life with a religious look and denying the power of God and being born again is not what he's asking of us. Ask yourselves today, have I chosen Christ? Am I following Jesus? And if the answer is I'm not sure, then you and the Lord get together. You speak to the Lord. Call out to him. Repent and turn to Christ and surrender everything to him. Thank you again, Father, for this day that we can come and worship you corporately like this. Thank you for those that have joined us on Facebook. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would not return void, but your word would continue to go out and change the hearts and lives of men and women all over the globe. Thank you, Father, that your scripture reminds us there will come a time when things are difficult. You've said that. You've reminded us. You've pointed us to that. It's all there. We can be very aware. We can be very sure your word is true. And so as we find ourselves in these times, O Lord, I pray that we would choose to follow Christ, choose to be obedient to your word, choose to be led by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that if we have fallen into that category of acting religious but denying the power of that would make us godly, I pray that we would turn to Christ, be born of God and led by your Spirit, and no longer just act religious, but live for Jesus. Go with us this day, this week, and help us to be salt and light. Help us to love you more than we have. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us, Father, to know the times are evident. The return is near. And I do pray, Father, for those that are sick and hurting today. Some have lost their loved ones again this week. And I pray that you would comfort them. And those that have lost their loved ones in the last couple of months, I pray that you would continue to comfort them. And those that are sick and battling cancers and difficulties, we pray for them in the journey. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for guiding us. Save us, Lord, in America. Turn us around. Turn us back to you. Do a work that is supernatural, spirit-filled. Revive your church. Save us, O God, I pray. Go with each one here today with a mind full of you. Am I following Christ? Am I aware of the times? Am I going to commit to being obedient to Jesus no matter what? Help our minds to be full of you. Not just walk out the door and forget everything the Word says, but help our minds to be full of you. Spirit of God, go with each and every one. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.